What is reality? It's a question most of us don't ask on a daily basis. We just take everything for granted. We assume that when we open our front door to step outside of our house, we're not going to actually be thrust into a universe full of infinite possibilities. But today we're going to take a look at three stories that involve people who are truly questioning what is real. First off, we take a look at the story of a young girl who experiences a terrifying visitation. Then we meet a man who has a novel way for dealing with the demons that try to interfere with his life. And finally, we take a look at the story of two girls out shopping one day at their local mall. Little do they know, this afternoon they will not be walking home with shopping bags full of bargains. Instead, they'll leave this mall shaken to the core, questioning, what is reality? Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. I hope you guys have some awesome plans for the weekend. I'm really hyped for that new movie, A Quiet Place, Day One. The first one I did not like at all. The second one I found very boring. But surely the third one, which is a prequel, will be excellent. You know, I'm hope springs eternal. I'm always very hopeful, and that helps get me through the day. But someone who gets through the day, whether or not they have any hope at all, everyone get on your feet and give it up for Ill Intent. Woohoo! Yeah, wee! He's walking on in with a mean look on his face. He might do something ill. Ill Intent supported the show during the 6th anniversary live stream special, and that is why you are going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys can't support the show financially through the Patreon or the merch store, that's okay. It really is. I say it every episode because it's true. It really is. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. That's another way you can help out. I really appreciate all of you guys, whether or not you give me money or just listen. Ill Intent, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the Jason Jet. Everyone climb on board this military weapon of war. There's only two seats in it, so we all got to get crammed into the back. Ill Intent, take us out of Dead Rabbit Radio Command and fly us all the way out to a little girl's house. Probably didn't need to take a jet. Probably could have just taken the Jason Jalopy, but here we are flying over this little girl's house. When I say little girl, she's 14-ish. She's around there. You know, when you're 47, that's a little girl. She's 14-ish. She didn't post her real name. We're going to go ahead and call her Isabel. This story takes place May 2024, so very, very recent story. And it's going to start us off on this reality-themed episode. What is the real? And what happens when you begin to question that? Isabel, she posted this in May 2024. She said for the past week, she's begun to have a ghostly encounter in her house. You know, it didn't matter where she was at or what time of day it was. This figure, this ghost, this spirit, whatever this is, we don't know, would appear as a man. Tall man. He'd be about 6 feet tall. He'd be wearing a yellow shirt. And over the top of that, he had a button-down red flannel shirt. Black jacket on top of that. Very fashionable spirit, right? He's coordinating his colors. And black pants. He also had black skin. Not as in a black man, but his skin was black and opaque. The absence of light. On his face, no nose, no ears, no hair. He has almost no facial features outside of a set of eyes and a large mouth. Scary, right? It would be a scary thing to see anywhere, but in the safety of your own home. And I'd argue also the age thing. I mean, again, you could be 80 years old and this thing popped up, you're probably going to die of a heart attack. But also, kids are still trying to figure out how the world works, and you have something so abstract in a sense, right? In the world of the paranormal, we're kind of used to these ghost stories, but we start to take it for granted that most people never have experiences like these, and a lot of people don't want to. A lot of people don't believe in the paranormal, or even if they do believe in the paranormal, it's theoretical. They've never actually had one of these experiences. And so when you're kind of piling all this stuff up on this young girl, it's taking a huge mental toll on her. She says that this figure will pop up at any time. She doesn't know. She can't predict it. It's not in one particular room. It's not in one particular part of the day. He'll pop up and he'll just stare at her. He'll just watch her. And he'll keep staring at her until she begins to cry. And then he vanishes. She said her boyfriend never sees him. Her boyfriend actually has never seen this phantom. But the phantom has appeared while her boyfriend has been over at her house. She said, at one point, this figure appeared and was staring at me. My boyfriend didn't see him. In fact, my boyfriend walked right through him. And when my boyfriend walked through this phantom, it vanished. She has been trying to figure out what this could be. That's why she's posting it online. She's trying to figure out what it could be. Is it a ghost? Is it a demon? Am I losing my mind? She does say that the colors that the man is wearing, the red, the black, and the yellow, are actually the colors of the German flag. I didn't double check that. I assume that that's true. She goes, they're the colors of the German flag. She said, my boyfriend's German. Does that possibly have anything to do with it? Is there a connection there somehow? And so she's really at a loss to explain what she's seen. Now, I found out about this story because yesterday's episode, we were talking about this entity, this melted man who looked like a bloated corpse, was wearing a red flannel shirt. And a lot of people take that as to mean that this could be the Flannel Man, which is a particular entity that was first popularized. And as far as I can tell, really the first people to bring it up was the podcast Strange Familiars. They covered it in 2017, and that was the real first organized reference I could find of it. Now, spirits have appeared wearing flannel for at least the last 100 years. You can find ghosts wearing flannel in books of, like, catalogs of haunting, like the National Directory of Haunted Places, for example, which is my favorite ghost hunting book. But the idea of it being a singular entity known as the Flannel Man, that's hasn't really been a thing until 2017. We talked about that a bit on yesterday's episode. I don't believe every ghost or spirit that wears flannel is the Flannel Man. I think it's an article of clothing. I think some of them may be the same entity, but I don't think all of them are. I could be wrong, right? I'm not an expert. Nobody's an expert as far as the paranormal is concerned. I could be wrong. However, the reason why I came across this story was that a longtime listener of the show, The Last 747, I see them posting around on Reddit, trying to help out people, posting research, doing their own research. That stuff, I mean, that makes me feel good. I love to see you guys as parts of the research community outside of the show, working with people, trying to figure out what this stuff is. That was like, wow, that's totally awesome. That made me feel really good that The Last 747... is doing stuff like that outside of the show, because they send me a ton of stuff. And I was like, oh, I didn't get sent this story. They sent this story to somebody else, the person who posted yesterday's story, to say, hey, it might be the Flannel Man. Here's another story I found. And da-da-da-da. It warms my heart. It really does. When I know you guys are out there as part of the research community outside of Dead Rabbit Radio. That's really, really cool. It makes me feel like the show is productive. And it's helping grow all of you guys to become members of the paranormal research community outside of the show. Not thinking about the show, just out there doing it. That's totally awesome. I followed him back to this story, and I found it. I still don't think that just because they're wearing flannel, that these entities are all related, but I could be wrong, right? I could totally be wrong. I think that this is probably a separate entity. But outside of the idea of whether or not it's the Flannel Man, when I get stories like this, I like to look through posting histories, right? To kind of see, kind of get a gauge for who the person is who posted it. Sometimes I'll find a really good story. They post a lot on horror, literature subreddits, no sleep subreddits, fiction subreddits. So I go, well, the story's not real. They'll post the same story on a bunch of fictional subreddits, and then they'll post it on paranormal. Okay, so I'm just wasting my time, and I'd waste your time if I talked about it. Sometimes I'll find really, really cool stories, and when I dig into the posters, past everything they talk about is a once-in-a-lifetime paranormal story. And I can kind of go, this is probably made up. They're probably making these stories up. For what reason? I don't know. Attention, because they think it's funny. I mean, writing that stuff is cool. Just put it on the fictional subreddits, right? So I go into her subreddit, and she has been asking. She posted on a couple different subreddits, but her posts were removed. And I don't think it was because of any offensive content. I don't know why they were removed. She had a post removed from the Roblox subreddit. She had a post removed from the Danny Gonzalez subreddit. Danny Gonzalez is like my favorite YouTuber. Not that it has anything to do with the story. I just really like that guy. But then she starts posting on Ask Reddit. This is a place where you're supposed to ask Reddit questions or whatever. And the questions were, over and over again, why don't I feel real? Why don't I feel real? Am I real? Why don't I feel real? And, you know, I hate Reddit with a fiery passion that can never be fully explained in an hour-long podcast, but this is one of the reasons. Obviously, this girl is going through something. But because it violates Rule 2 of Ask Reddit, where it had no personal questions. You can ask all sorts of stupid questions, but if you see somebody going through a mental health crisis, no. And so finally, one of these posts was up long enough that people were able to respond to it, because they'll block it. You know, you see the headline and then they block it and no one can respond. This one, they actually locked the comments on. You can't respond now, but people, you know, she goes, I keep trying to post this and I can't get an answer. Why don't I feel real? Why don't I feel real? And a couple of people commented back and said, you know, you should go see a psychologist. You should go get treatment. Look up depersonalization, derealization online and see if any of those symptoms match. But she's asking that question, 14 years old, asking the question, why don't I feel real? And that's an interesting way to kind of start this episode, because I think we all wonder, like, what is reality? That's just kind of like a philosopher question. But when you're 14 and it sounds like you're going through a mental health crisis and you're asking, why don't I feel real? Coupled with the fact that she's now seeing this figure in her room or in her house, no one else can see it. And so, in this case, she may be hallucinating. And her hallucination is taking on a horrifying form. This man who appears and just stares at her until she begins sobbing, until she breaks down. I will say this. As a paranormal researcher and as a human being with a slight sense of empathy, this is a paranormal activity that I would first try to figure out medically. This is one that before I broke out the sage, before I brought over a spiritual advisor, before I went to kind of feel the energy of the house, I would advise someone in this situation, based off her other posting history, to go get some medical help. To find a psychologist that they have a bond with. That's one thing. Because, I counsel people with this a lot. I get a lot of emails, and I've had a lot of friends. And myself, I've had mental health issues with anxiety. Is that it's not so much about making an appointment with a psychologist or a psychiatrist. You got to shop around. You got to find one that you gel with. A lot of people treat it like a doctor. They just get a referral from their doctor. They go see the psychiatrist and they go, well, okay, this is the one that I'm going to be with. That's not the way to do it. You got to try out a couple, because this is someone you're going to want to be honest with and open up to. If it's someone you don't gel with, you wouldn't hang out with a friend. If you hung out with them once or twice and you just weren't feeling it, then it's done, right? So that's the way you got to look at it. But I would advise her to start that process, to start looking at a counselor or a psychologist or a psychiatrist to talk about these issues. Then I would look at a supernatural angle. If she was older, if she wasn't crying out for help about not feeling real, I would start off the supernatural angle. Sometimes you can hit them both at the same time, but I think if someone told me, I go, I keep seeing this man in my house, stares at me until I start crying. But everything else outside of that appeared to be normal, then I would be like, okay, let's investigate this from a paranormal angle. But because of everything else that's going on, again, though, we do have this. We've talked about this before on the show. Both can be true. And a dark entity could be attracted to somebody who is going through a mental health crisis. Some people believe, and I'm kind of on the fence about this one, honestly. I take it case by case, that the spiritual activity can cause the mental health crisis. I believe that it's possible, but it's real tricky to work with. Because sometimes on some of these cases, you got a time limit. You know, sometimes it's just someone has really bad anxiety disorder and they get freaked out and they have a hard time kind of relaxing. But they're able to go to work. They're able to hang out with their friends. You're not going to do anything drastic. You got time. It's a quality of life thing, I think, in that type of mental health. And then there's mental health where you're like, we may be looking at months or weeks before something really, really bad happens. So let's hop on this right now. Jason's really cheery episode for Friday, for sure. But I find it just, it's terrifying because she's asking that question, what is real? And seeing something like this, that you know, if you're a paranormal researcher and you believe in the existence of spirits and demons and you see something like that, it will shake your cage. It will freak you out. But you'll have a mental and a spiritual toolkit to fall back on to deal with that. If you don't have that, if you are thinking, I don't really believe in ghosts, or yeah, you know, ghost movies are fun or whatever, and now you're confronted with something like this, and you're questioning, what is reality? Am I real? Huge double whammy. If you do not believe in ghosts, and you're dealing with something like that, you would question, what is reality? Because what I'm seeing right there shouldn't exist, but it does. So what does that say about everything else? What does that say about everything else around me? What does that say about myself? Am I real? That shouldn't be real. It is real. I should be real, but am I? Isabel, I hope that you are able to get the treatment that you need. I hope Reddit quits bullying you and blocking all of your stuff. I really don't think that she could be recruiting for some crazy terrorist group, but I doubt it, based off of her post that I was able to read. I mean, imagine that. You're going through a mental health crisis. You're being haunted by a spirit who stares at you until you start crying, and Reddit keeps erasing all of your posts, even the one where you're asking for help. You would feel pretty isolated in that moment. So Isabel, I wish you a long and healthy life, and I hope that you get the help you need, both medically and spiritually, as far as this goes, right? If this is a separate, if this is not part of a mental illness, if this is a separate entity that is taking advantage of your mental state, then we need to deal with both of those. But Isabella, I wish you the best of luck. You're like, Jason, you're a paranormal researcher. You have experience with these things. Ill intent. Let's go ahead and start up the Jason Jalopy. Everyone climb on board as he drives us out to an apartment building. Headed all the way up to the apartment building, we're about to meet this guy named Jeremy. Well, that's not his real name. That's the name we gave him. For some reason, I gave him one of the many names I can barely pronounce. People have said it's not called Jeremy. They're not Jeremy. Jeremy, is that how I said it? Jeremy? Used to call him Jeremy all the time. I had a good buddy named Jeremy. He's like, that's not how you say my name. I was like, ah, whatever. Whatever, Jeremy. Jeremy, I should have just given him a different name. He's recently moved into a new apartment. And in this new apartment, he started to suffer from a ailment that I've never had a problem with, right? I'm a big, strong boy. I don't have to worry about it. But a lot of people have sleep paralysis. Jeremy's sleeping in bed and he wakes up. He can't move his body. Making all these noises. That's one thing, right? You just fall back asleep. That big old cry baby, all sleep paralysis. I don't know. Maybe it is horrifying. But anyways, he'd wake up. He can't move his body. But it's not just that. When he wakes up and he can't move his body, he starts to hear a... What was that, Jason? Sounded like you were slapping your thighs. Also, are you wearing pants? That sounded like a lot of flesh. He hears the sounds of footsteps running towards him. He's unable to move. He hears the sound of someone running towards his bed. And this phantom, this spirit, this sleep demon, whatever it may be, is screaming at the top of his lungs while it's running at him, which I'm not going to do, right? I do a lot of sound effects. I'll slap my thighs, but I can't scream at the top of my lung. I mean, I could, but, you know, I don't want to wake anyone up. So I'll just do, and imagine that louder and scarier. Put some haunted house music behind it. Ho, 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 ho. Santa Claus for some reason. Bats, the sound of bats flying. He hears this sound of someone running, hears a scream, and it terrifies him. It would terrify anybody. But over time, I wrote this guy's name down because I definitely got to give this guy a shout out. Jeremy says that he is having the sleep paralysis. It happened, never had it before. It's only been since he moved into his new apartment. He posted this online underneath the name True Immortal. He said, I moved to my new house, and now I'm having this thing with sleep paralysis. I hear the sound of someone running into my room, screaming at the top of their lungs. Sounds of bats flying in the distance. Scary jack-o'-lantern song starts playing. Terrifying. It's absolutely giving you a heart attack, man. I just think, imagine waking up in the middle of the night and hearing someone running full speed into your room. That would be scary enough, but then the scream on top of it. But over time, Jeremy says, he kind of started getting used to it. He's all like, oh, I don't need to set an alarm clock. So I know what time I'm going to wake up when the screaming wraith from beyond the veil comes into my room. He goes, I got used to it after a while. And he said what would happen was I would start to... Because see, what happened was he would have a dream where he was intensely scared in the dream. That's how this would start off. He'd be dreaming, and he could feel the creeping fear invading his subconscious. And then he would wake up, and then he would hear the footsteps and the screaming. So he started to put together that pattern. Basically, when he started dreaming, he dreams he's at an ice cream shop with a big waffle cone with three scoops of cake batter. He's all, nom, 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 nom. And then another piece of ice cream appears on top. He goes, whoa. Nyum, 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 nyum. Then another one. Nyum, 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 nyum. He's seeing that as the medics are pulling up outside. They're like, oh, this guy's going to have diabetes type 33. By the time we're done here, they're walking up and he's eating this ice cream. But then, nyum, 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 infinite ice cream. And then he goes out for a walk. It's a beautiful sunny day. And he realizes that everyone's made of ice cream. He's all chasing kids down the street. Om nom. Eat him up. He's in a world of ice cream. It's a beautiful dream. But then all of a sudden, he just starts to get scared. You're like, Jason, quit making up stuff. You have no ice cream dream. We already know what you're going. Stuff gets scary. And then he wakes up. Yeah, yeah, that's where I'm getting to. So anyways, the point is that he starts to realize in his dreams, when he feels the fear in the dream, he knows what's going to come in the waking world. So he starts to put two and two together. He's like, well, if I dream about the ice cream land again and be arrested by the cone cops for eating all of those kids, and then I get scared, right? I get scared eating the children. That was delicious. But once they take me to jail and they lock me up and I realize the bars aren't edible as I took a bite and all my teeth fell out, and then I just had nothing but bloody exposed gums. I'm walking around in my jail cell. And then I start getting scared. And then I wake up. I know what's going to happen. This thing's going to run into my bedroom and scream. So eventually he goes, I got used to it. And then he hatched a plan. Now, I will tell you, I did with him what I do with everyone. What I did with the Sphinx Cat's account. I looked through the posting history. Because what I'm about to tell you is insane. What I'm about to tell you is nuts. And I go, this has to be fake. So I look through his posting history, and all he does is post about something called Wuxia. I guess it's some genre in China. It's like a fantasy. It's like sword and sorcery in the West. It's like swords and sorcery, but like Chinese magic or something like that. I don't know. But anyways, I tried looking it up. It was like 1,000 books from different authors. I was like, yeah, I guess this is a genre. But anyways, he's really into that genre. Now, who knows? Maybe that's a clue. Maybe if you're also a Wuxia fan... A wux head. I hope that's not a slang word in China. If you're a wux head, you might be able to go, oh yeah, I remember that was from book 11 of the Tribal Men's Brigade series. I remember that happening, Jason. It's actually, he's a huge fan of that story about the man. He didn't post anything else crazy, but this. And again, it does make me go, maybe this is true. One night he's dreaming, he has a dream that starts to get really... irrationally scary. He can feel the fear overcoming him in the dream world. He knows what's going to happen. He wakes up in the real world. And he forces himself, using every bit of strength that he has, to move. He's going to fight the sleep paralysis. He's going to override his body's safety mechanism. We become paralyzed when we sleep, so we don't run around and reenact our dreams. We're not running around doing Wuxia stuff, chopping people's heads off, saving elves, whatever they do. He has sleep paralysis, but he's forcing himself to move because he knows what's coming. He knows that this sleep demon is going to run into the room. He's fighting and he's fighting and finally gets enough strength to start moving, and he falls on all fours. He crawls out of the bed. He's now there on the ground. And he knows what's coming, but he's never been in this position before. His body is heavy. He can barely move. He's on all fours in his bedroom. When he sees it, I don't know if he ever saw it before this time. He'd talk about hearing it run in. He'd talk about hearing it screaming. But now that he's on all fours, he's looking up. And he sees his sleep demon. That's what he calls it, his sleep paralysis demon. He looks up and he sees this phantom screaming, running right towards Jeremy. Jeremy begins to crawl as fast as he can towards this sleep demon, and they collide. Jeremy then takes a huge bite out of the sleep demon's face and tears the flesh off. When he's eating it up, he eats the sleep demon's face. And he never saw it since. Now, Jason, I know you just that you go through people's posting history to see if stories are true or not. And while this guy might not have a bunch of stories that would indicate that he's making it up, you're telling me that this guy, one, was able to, while he was in sleep paralysis, to crawl around, which is kind of the opposite of the word, right? You're like, I was in a coma, but then I woke up while I was still in the coma. I was awake at the same time. They're like, what? He's in sleep paralysis. He crawls. He says he crawled as fast as the Grudge Girl, I think is what he compared himself to. And he leapt on the sleep paralysis demon and devoured its face. Because I've never seen the sleep paralysis demon since. Yeah, this is the only weird thing that, other than all that sword, all other than all that fantasy stuff, you know, you can have your interest, your fantasy world interest, doesn't mean everything else you post is fake. This is the only really weird thing that he posted. He ate this sleep demon's face. Now, what I find interesting about this story, outside of everything, right? It does involve a man devouring a ghost. That might be a first. A ghost or a demon, or however you want to classify it. I think there's something really interesting going on here, because Jeremy sees this as a victory. He said that I ate its face, and since then I've never had another sleep paralysis demon. But when I read this, I thought, yeah, in the same way that when you catch a virus, this might be a bad analogy, but if you have a virus, let's say that I have Ebola, I can't get more Ebola. Like, if I currently have Ebola, and more Ebola is, like, floating around, and it sees me, and I'm, like, coughing up blood, the floating Ebola... a big smile on its face. If you looked at it through a microscope, you see all these little guys smiling because I'm already infected. If I already have Ebola and someone threw up Ebola coated blood on me, I'm not going to get double Ebola. I already have it. I'm infected. Here's another disgusting, I would keep coming up with disgusting examples. Imagine that you have the stomach flu and someone vomits directly into your mouth. You don't now have double flu, or flu two, as I call it, flu squared. No, I mean, you'd be incredibly disgusted, sure. Anyways, you're not going to get it again. This is the way I looked at this. I go, I think the sleep paralysis demon won. It's inside of you. Like, sure, maybe it's face. If you ate my face off, I can't be like this skeletal bloody head going, ha ha ha, checkmate. Because I'm a human, and now I don't have a face. But a sleep paralysis demon, it's inside of you now. Before it was just running around and scaring you. Now you've actually ingested it. I don't think you won. I think it might have won. That's why you didn't see it anymore. Because it's now part of you. Now, that story, now that I think about it, I don't know why that story's part of the theme about what is real. I guess... really, let me think real quick to kind of tie it together. Never mind, it doesn't fit the theme. I was thinking that maybe it did when I put it on here. It's an interesting story, though. Whether or not it fits the theme of what is reality, I think it's an interesting story. It's a story about a man who eats a demon's face. This is just not, it's one of a kind right there, but I don't really think it fits our theme. So instead of spending 5 minutes trying to force that in, ill intent, let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the world-famous Carpenter Copter. We're leaving behind this apartment. Fly us all the way out to the mall. Headed all the way out to the mall, we're about to meet two teenage girls. We'll name them Sasha, who's the narrator of the story, and Judy. And they're hanging out in the mall. Having fun. Sasha says, we go out there, we went and grabbed some pretzels, we got a couple drinks, we're walking around. The mall, the beautiful American mall, right? Something that I miss in the landscape. Truly a great place to hang out. You got all these stores, you got food court, you got a bunch of people walking around, you got these employees that you can meet, you got all the stuff you can buy, meet up with your friends down there. It's just kind of like a cool meeting place. They just don't really exist anymore, at least anywhere that I know of. And that is similar to the mall that they're at. There's a bunch of customers, there's employees walking around. Got the food court. A standard mall. A standard day. That could be mistaken for anywhere else in America. They're walking around, Sasha and Judy. They're walking around, they're kind of window shopping. Talking. Thinking, hey, can I buy this? Just having fun. When all of a sudden, the lights go out. The mall is plunged into total darkness. There's no emergency lights coming on. No lit up red exit sign as far as the girls could see. The mall is pitch black. And Sasha and Judy are like, what? Oh my God, wow. Oh no. What? Oh, you have that kind of nervous laugh when something happens. That's not necessarily dangerous, but you don't expect it, and you're a little scared, but not too scared. They're discussing this and talking and trying to figure out what it could be, and Sasha starts to realize something. As the seconds tick by, Sasha begins to realize she cannot hear anyone else in the mall reacting except for herself and Judy. Sasha goes, Judy, how come we're the only ones talking? How come we're the only ones reacting to the fact that At the very least, the power went out. And at the most, something even more catastrophic has happened. They are the only two, not just reacting to the fact that the lights are off, they're the only two talking. They can hear no other people around them. 2 minutes, Sasha estimates. 2 minutes go by before the lights come back on. The lights come on back to normal. The whole mall is lit up. And Sasha and Judy, while they're excited and relieved that the power's back on, or whatever caused this, has been repaired, both of them realize every other person in the mall, from employee to customer, is frozen in place. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 seconds pass, and everyone begins moving again, and talking, and carrying on with their business. For the moment, for the day. And Sasha and Judy just look at each other. More questions than there could ever be answers for as to what just happened to them. They both experienced it. Sasha says, we still talk about it. It's not something we talk about every single day. Hey, how was your day? The power stay on? Oh, yeah, yeah. Remember when the world froze? But it's something that they bring up from time to time. They both remember it. They both have vivid memories of the time when the mall went dark, fell silent, and then remained frozen for 5 seconds after the lights came back on. Sasha says, I have no clue as to what this could have been. She posted this online about 2 months ago underneath the name Frosty Magazine 8943. She doesn't tell us of when the event happened. We don't know how long ago it was, but she says she and Judy have told this story to others and no one believes them. It is something that we talk about on the show. It's not in a paranormal category. If someone comes up to you and tells you a ghost story, you may believe it, even if you don't believe in ghosts, right? Someone tells you a story about an alien, you may believe it. You know how to classify it. If someone tells you a story like this, it's so far out of the norm that even someone who does believe in ghosts and aliens, they may not believe this. Because it's just so far out. And as you're telling the story, first off, it just sounds like two girls in a mall and the power goes out. Once you start to look at the details, it doesn't add up what this was. Now, there is a thing we cover on this show. I don't know if this totally fits. But again, we're still trying to figure out what it is. We covered it on the show a couple times, called the Black Bedrooms Phenomenon. That was named that because the first examples were people were waking up in their rooms in the middle of the night in either a completely black void. And no matter how far they walked in any directions, they can never find their bedroom walls. One person woke up. I'll put all these episodes in the show notes. But one person woke up and they were in a black void, but the floor of their room, they could see a galaxy, like a spiral galaxy at the, like, spread across their floor as if they're floating through space or something like this. Black bedrooms could be alien related, sure. Sometimes people wake up and they look out and the world is dark. There's no lights on anywhere, no street lights, nothing off in the distance, nothing. It looks like there's no one alive anywhere else on the planet. Ego Jason, generally, when people wake up in the middle of the night, their rooms are dark. Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that, but I'll put those episodes in the show notes. And then we have stories of a phenomenon called Darkness Egyptian. Now, some of these stories are more true than others, right? We've covered them because we're looking into the phenomenon and we've debunked some of them, but where this same phenomenon happens when people are out and about in the area. Like downtown, for example. At an airport. Things like that. Now we have this one at the mall. We'll put all those episodes in the show notes. It's a really cool conspiracy theory, paranormal phenomenon. Even the stories that we have been able to debunk are very fascinating as well. And with this, again, if you saw ghosts at the foot of your bed, you understand ghosts are spooky, nighttime spooky. Ghosts like to be in bedrooms. Ghosts like to scare people. This makes sense. This doesn't make sense to Sasha. This doesn't make sense to Judy. In fact, Sasha is left with the feeling that she does not know what is real anymore. She said, from time to time, I find myself questioning the nature of reality. Is everything a simulation? Did I watch the software get reset? What is reality? What was that moment where me and my friend are standing there in the darkness? She would have been better off if she was by herself, because then she could pretend that it was a dream. She could pretend that it was a daydream, whatever. Sleep paralysis demon attack. She could have pretended it was something else and forgotten about it. The fact that there was another witness there reinforces that it was real. And when it is real, you do have to grapple with those questions. What did we see? And is that indicative of the true nature of reality? And these are fun hypothetical questions. Like, what is real? Can we modify reality? Is it this nothing but a dream? Same way as when we wake up from a dream, it feels so real. But now that we're awake, we know that it wasn't. These are interesting philosophical questions, sure. But when you're forced to answer them, when these questions are thrust right into your face, when you experience things that are so bizarre that you are left wondering, what is reality? Am I real? Is the world real? What does all of this mean? When you're sitting there in a philosophy class or you've smoked a couple bowls hanging out with your buddies, those are great questions to ask. But when you don't have a choice to ask them, you don't have a choice to answer them. And you'll never know the answer. Nobody knows the answer. But I can just, you know, walk away from a philosophical conversation. I was like, oh, you know, go see what's going on in the next room of this party. Oh, it's the guy with the guitar. Okay, no, maybe I'll just go sit outside and breathe in the fresh night air. We have the choice, right? We can go, oh, this conversation's boring, or we can delve even more into the topic, but at a certain point, we can put the books away. The conversation ends, we can move on with our lives. These people are trying to struggle with these answers right now because they're intensely important to them. Because they've seen the other side of reality. They weren't looking for it. They weren't trying to ask these questions. It's been forced upon them to find out the answer, and they'll never have an answer. And it can cause this spiral. The world of the paranormal borders the world of madness. We see this every day. You can find constant stories of people who believe in the most bizarre things and end up doing some of the most atrocious acts possible. True crime is littered with these types of stories. Everything from cults to family massacres. People who start to believe in these weird end-of-the-world predictions, or reptilians taking over the planet, or demonic subversion in their community, in their nation, what have you. The world of the paranormal borders against the world of madness, and it's a very, very thin border. And the people in this story have been pushed over that border. They're having to grapple with the idea of what is reality. They have to ask themselves that question from time to time, because otherwise they may lose the path back to the real world, out of the realm of madness and back to reality. The problem is that once you're deep enough into the Madlands, you believe that is the reality. And everyone else around you, they're the crazy ones. They don't know what you know. They haven't seen what you've seen. They don't understand what reality is, but you do. You've been gifted with the sight of the real. And no one can tell you otherwise. no one can help you. Lost in the Madlands. Lost in a realm of eternal insanity. A place that few humans dwell. But home sweet home for millions of monsters. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be your email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great weekend.